Welcome to 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time, a podcast series exploring the world of Apple Watch and how it impacts people's lives. My next guest is Rahul Mata, the developer of Tempo for iPhone and Apple Watch, and a brand new health kit app that's available starting today. You were last on in September, which feels like years ago now, so welcome back to the show, and thanks for joining me virtually during quarantine.
Hey, Zach. Thanks for having me again. Excited to be back on the show.
Awesome. So that is right. I forgot to ask you before we started recording. There's a new app coming out today, right?
Yes, absolutely. I have it open right here. It's pending developer release, and I figured we should do it on the show itself because
oh, that's fun. Cool.
It just happened to be.
So we'll get to that in a few topics from now, and we will celebrate the moment when you release that app. First, I want to talk about kind of the last time we spoke, it was in September when the world was kind of normal as it can be. And since, I'd say, March and on, we've had this, shelter in place, quarantine, effort to try and stop the spread of COVID-19, the coronavirus, and the United States. And so I know for me, it really shook up kind of my goals for the year and my routine throughout the day, with gyms closing and races being canceled. I did like a New Year's Day episode where it's like, this is what I want to do this year, and these are the goals. And none of that factored in a possible pandemic. And so I want to revisit that in a later episode. But just for now, how is this affecting you and kind of what you do?
Pretty much about in any and every possible way that we all have been affected with. It's kind of crazy. I remember the first day there was no school was actually Friday the 13th here in Massachusetts for my kids. And it's been like, the date has, already has its meaning, but it kind of like has reinforced itself in different ways. And my running is completely different these days. I was just coming off of an injury. So my running was kind of on the low end, and that has never gone back to its peak mode, which usually happens just around now, where I usually try to run a half marathon around end of May and then start getting into the swing of things for a October Chicago marathon. And sure, I don't think Chicago marathon is happening this year. They haven't said anything, but I think the races are being optimistic at this point. So we'll see. But generally speaking, my running schedule is different throughout the day. I just try to go for a run whenever I can, depending on when my wife gets home from work. She works, she's a physician, so she's in the healthcare industry and she has to still go in. So I'm in charge of being with kids at home. Yeah. So running is different. Working on Tempo and writing any code is very different depending on the day. Some days it's a couple of hours I can get, and some days it's like 10 minutes in, 10 minutes out, or play hide and seek for 2 hours with the 5-year-old and then go back to working what I was looking at. So I have a whole bunch of code that sits on different branches because my mind has shifted from being able to do deep focus work to just context switching across various things. Sure. And trying to just see whatever interests me in like the pockets of time I have.
Yeah. My brother's staying with us during quarantine, and it's been extremely helpful. And for the first couple of weeks, it was actually easier for me than before because I could, with 9 to 5 Mac, I'm in the office from 8 to 4 central. And then, I kind of check in throughout the evening and everything, but I don't have to be just like following everything that's happening in the moment. But in the first couple of weeks, I could just sort of make my own schedule and be pretty loose about it because I was putting in more hours on the weekends and evenings, mm-hmm. Because there was just less going on during the weekday hours. And so I would start working much earlier and, take breaks throughout the day and then, actually accomplish something. Because the thing is like with productivity is, having a set of hours is one thing, you know, that's when you can be dedicated to doing something. But when your kids are home, that all goes out the window. And so it's more like when you find pockets of productivity and you can be more productive, you know, sometimes at 8 PM, yep, without having done anything all day, rather than, you know, hopefully you find inspiration in those work hours.
That's kind of interesting. I should probably look at my like Git commits and things like that, because I feel like my day has completely shifted from starting at 8 AM to, in terms of work and workout and whatnot, it probably has shifted towards 4 or 5 PM through 8 or 9 late in the hours. And it's just odd because there is a dinner time too. So you have to be available and be with the family then. So it kind of like goes up and down with that too. And it's usually 4 or 5 o'clock. I try to go for a run or start getting ready to go for a run. So I get to do some work and then I go for a run, come back, maybe do another hour of work, and then it's dinner time. And after that, it's the end of the day. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Yeah. And for me, I'll get more into this in another episode, but my running routine is that there's not a routine anymore. There's not a set goal. There's nothing specific that I'm working toward in the immediate future, beyond being more fit and just keeping active in some way. So whether that's taking the dog for a long walk or taking the kids for a walk around the neighborhood or riding bikes or doing like a Peloton inside, or I bought an elliptical again just for this period, to have like no excuse for not staying active. And so it's a lot more variety, because everything else is so monotonous now that I need that variety. But the thing with, you know, school being closed during the usual session is eventually you do get to a point where school's out, it's summertime, and there's a lot more to do ordinarily with summer camps and things like that. But at least for my family, a lot of it is like, okay, now I can't, you know, in terms of work, it's definitely a different pace because both kids are at home now. And there's some travel involved and everything. Now it's like both kids are at home now. There's not really going to be any travel. And, you know, we've got to, like, what we're doing right now is what we'll be doing until probably, you know, August, September, even if things get better. So it's a very different year than we anticipated.
Yeah. Yeah. And having kids at home full time, besides as a schooling, it's also the fact that their activities matter too, right? Yes. We were talking about our health and fitness, but it's even for them having a dedicated time and, you know, figuring out what can they do by going outside and playing and, you know, taking them to a playground where they are not supposed to be actually on the playground, but just out on the field and running around, has become a logistical issue too, because you have to plan for, are there going to be a lot of people at that hour? And how do we keep them quarantined while they're still outside? It's been an interesting shift. Not just interesting, it's been crazy shift. Yes. For our lifestyles.
Yep. I know for myself, I've had to kind of scratch out all the goals for the year because races just literally are not happening. And those are my biggest motivators, is like, you know, you've got a hard date and a set goal, so you better be ready for it by then. Now that that's not the case, you know, I'm looking for inspiration anywhere I can find it. you know, it's warmer weather, I think, is helping and sort of getting used to the sort of new schedule that I have to have. But for yourself, do you have any new goals or goals that have changed because of the situation? Things that are keeping you motivated?
Yeah. So, my goals have changed from, focusing on a marathon at the end of the year to hopefully keeping my fitness level through the end of the year. And the other thing is with tempo, I can see my previous year's total mileage. So I'm hoping that I'm able to keep that same number of miles, but maybe at a lower intensity. The interesting caveat to that is, usually October is the end of the year for me because I run a marathon in November. December ends up being more or less like, you know, a wash for me where I only run maybe 20 miles a month and that's it, versus like 100 to 150. So this year I'm hoping that I will be able to train through the end of the year and that would keep up the miles to that. Mm-hmm. And in the process, I've started like, so my routine has also changed in the sense that I used to be waking up in the morning, get kids ready for school, get them out of the house, and then I'll go for my runs and then start my day. Now that doesn't happen. So what I have changed it to is I usually do some light stretching and some, you know, just other workouts like weights or whatever, just to keep my core in a better fitness shape. So I've noticed that that has actually helped in my running form. So that's become my another goal to like maintain that rhythm to say I am actually working out twice a day where I work out in the morning for about 20, 30 minutes and I'm at home and kids are around. So, you know, sometimes my 10-year-old would join me. I've been doing like 7-minute workouts and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that keeps him active too. And in the process, I get to do like two workouts a day some days. So the goal generally I have no races, but it's more about just keeping healthy and fitness. Because part of the whole pandemic is like you have to maintain your immune system to be high enough.
Sure, yeah, totally.
So, yeah, it's no races, but general fitness. That's how I'm looking at this year.
And when this is, you know, better, then you'll be in better form for it. Definitely motivates me.
That's the hope. I mean, like I have heard so many stories where people have gotten injured or not able to run for a while, and then they come back from injuries and, you know, taking some time off. So I'm hoping that kind of magic happens, not just for me, but for a lot of us, because we are all like just yearning to go run a race, right? So that would be exciting. Hopefully 2021, right? I mean, right now we can't say anything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, in a big way, it's like, you know, because of the pandemic, then I had felt relief when my half marathon was canceled, not because I didn't want to like run it, but I didn't have to make the trip and everything. And, mm-hmm. and I felt better about not being so, on my schedule for that race anyway. And ordinarily it would kind of feel terrible for me, at least, to think about a 2021 goal in May and March. But now it feels like that's actually optimistic, you know. It's like hope for a nice spring race, you know, in 2021. And it also kind of gives you hope, you know, it gives you a longer view of life every day, because instead of just thinking about your monotonous daily routine, you're thinking about, on the other side of this, you know, and I think that's a great mental boost.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, those kind of things, you know, putting some positive spin on everything that we have been talking about is essentially that, right? We're able to take life much slower. For that matter, even we are eating healthier, hopefully, right? Because we're eating more at home. So all of those things would, at some point, will show their positive effects, which we will be able to reap on like next year at some point, right? So,
okay, listeners, I have a question. How do you sleep last night? What about last week? Has your sleep been better or worse since this time last year? Pillow for iPhone and Apple Watch is here to help you answer those questions and help you understand how sleep affects your everyday life. Pillow is an all-in-one sleep tracking solution to help you be more aware of your sleep patterns and discover what might be affecting your sleep quality. If you have an Apple Watch, tracking your sleep is as easy as wearing your Apple Watch to bed. Pillow will track and analyze your sleep automatically. One of Pillow's most loved features is the ability to get a detailed heart rate diagram of every sleep session. You can even compare your sleep quality with your weight, steps, caffeine consumption, and many more health metrics to discover how they might be affecting your sleep. Pillow can optionally record sounds you make during sleep, from sleep talking to sleep apnea and snoring or unexpected noises that might be affecting your sleep. A lot of users have been surprised by the results. For me, when my wife says that I've been snoring lately, this can prove her right. Pillow is also very privacy minded. all your sleep and audio data is encrypted and stored on your device in your iCloud storage account using end-to-end encryption. That's the good stuff. Pillow doesn't have user accounts either, so you can use it anonymously, and it doesn't collect or send your personal data anywhere. No need to worry about that. Naps boost your focus, creativity, and overall well-being too. And if you're working from home, you can also take naps using Pillow's power nap modes. If you need an alarm, Pillow can wake you up using your iPhone, Apple Watch, or iPad. And if you have watchOS 6 installed on your Apple Watch, that's the latest update. The new update to Pillow uses something called extended runtime, which all that means for you is it minimizes battery consumption on the Apple Watch. Pillow is available on the App Store for the iPhone, Apple Watch, and even the iPad. Discover all of Pillow's features at naybox.com/pillow. That's NEYBOX.com/pillow. Just going there helps support the podcast. Sleep well and stay safe. My thanks to Pillow for their support of 9 to 5 Mac Watch Time. All right, let's talk about tempo for Apple Watch first, because the last time we talked, we kind of brainstormed together. It's like, you know, Tempo is funny because it's an iPhone app that works based on workout data captured from the Apple Watch, yet it's not an Apple Watch app, or at least it wasn't. And so it was always kind of like weird how to characterize it as like Tempo for iPhone, but you need the Apple Watch for it, and that's how it works. Now you can say Tempo for iPhone and Apple Watch. So what's changed there since we last spoke?
So thanks to you, you reached out to me, what was this, like about 5 weeks ago or something? And, I think you just DM'd me on Twitter and you said, hey, right now I'm really wanting like some sort of a complication on my watch to tell me how many miles I've run this month. And that would be a nice little, boost, nudge to go get some more running done. And I was actually, I still have an app that I'm working on and off, and I was hoping to get that going because that would help runners and folks outside running too. But I was actually wondering, what can I do with Tempo or in the short term to as a participation towards, like, you know, helping with folks with their running and keeping the motivation up with all the races getting canceled and whatnot. And Your DM was just very timely for me because it instantly made me realize that, okay, this feature can really help and it's not that complicated to build and should be quick enough to like just put together. So I started looking into it. It had been a few minutes before since I had actually worked on a watch app. So watchOS 6, everything was, you know, things are way different than when I had seen it last. But it was quick enough. And in the process, I picked up SwiftUI too and got my hands dirty with that. And it was maybe 3 days it took me to put the app together and another 2 weeks to actually do a thorough field testing for the app. Right. But in the process, now we have an Apple Watch app for Tempo, where you can see your basic mileage, essentially your total distance for the week, month, and the current year, as well as your last run distance. And you can also set up complications on all the watch faces, and you can actually change the complication period type, and period type here means week, month, or year, and it will show you the total distance for the ongoing period. So it really is helpful. As soon as I had it on my watch face, I was like, wow, this is game changing, because it was just motivating for me to keep on. Okay, I'm at like 10 miles for the week, and I really should try to keep at, you know, 20-25, and I can do that because I have 4 more days. And it's nice to see that number get updated too every time you come back from a run. So so we have an Apple Watch app for Tempo, and it's actually been received really well by a lot of runners. And I think it kind of was revealing to me how much folks really care about like dedicated apps like this on the Apple Watch itself. I have some big plans for going forward with features on the Apple Watch app now.
Yeah, the environment for an Apple Watch app today is so much better than it would have been, you know, 4 years ago. It's crazy. And it's so cool that you're able to make this so quickly and have everything that I dreamed of. Because the thing is, I came to Tempo from using Nike Run Club as my running log. And that had its, you know, a lot of flaws in that it wasn't, made by an indie developer like yourself. And so it would be updated, kind of when the corporation felt like, you know, putting effort into it, and it wasn't reliable. Unlike Tempo, it wants to be also an alternative to the Apple Watch workout app. Whereas with Tempo, it's encouraged to use the Apple Watch workout app for the most accurate data. And over the years, the Apple Watch workout app has been a better running app than even Nike Running Club, which is kind of weird considering it's an app dedicated to running, whereas the workout app has so many different workout types. But things like seeing your cadence, for example, you know, for a long time it was access to the now planning controls. That's since been able to come to third-party app, but I'm not sure if they even do that. And then I'd see in Tempo where, like, the data from Nike Run Club wasn't reliable. You know, it was like, this, you know, this isn't perfect. So I wanted to use the workout, Apple's workout app, you know, it was like 2 years ago when I made the switch, and having the features that I did like in Nike Run Club, you know, available in Tempo in a way better implementation, it's been awesome. And so, like, you know, one of the things I missed was the Nike Run Club app lets you, you're not in so much control of it. Like, the complication style changes dynamically based on context, but all I wanted from it was, this is how many miles you ran this month. And, you know, sometimes it would change for, like, go for, you know, different things. But, like, when I first got into running, I found it motivational. But then I found the actual, you know, experience using the app to be not. And so having the perfect system with Apple Workout and Tempo, and having that data customizable on the watch face is so cool. And not just that, but also, like, you just launch the app, you know, you touch the complication. And so what does it do? It shows you, not just your, monthly mileage, if that's what you have your complication set to, but also, day, week, and maybe year. So it's a dream come true for me. I'm so glad you're able to do it.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. I mean, there's a part of me that wants to actually focus just on the watch app going forward, but I know there's a lot more in the Tempo itself, the iPhone app. There is so much as I started building the app that kind of unlocked in my mind to, like, okay, these are the features which I had on the list. A lot of folks have asked for, but I've been just putting it in the parking lot for, like, okay, we'll get to it at some point when I have the watch app. And just creating, like, it's just like created that momentum, right? For, okay, now there is an app out there, so I can, like, just iterate on it slowly because it's been released and it's a working app. Versus before, it was just everything that was for the watch app was just being like, okay, it's on the list. I'll get to it someday. And the list was ever growing. So it was almost like creating its own inertia for me for, like, don't move on. So yeah, I'm really glad that it worked out the way it did. And thank you again for sending that feature request. Very timely.
Yeah, that was awesome. And then I know Tempo's had some other features since we last spoke in September. Like, I think one feature that comes to mind is, like, 2-a-day runs and how that looks and how it tracks. So how does that work?
Yeah, so a lot of folks run twice a day. And I think these days seem like might be also a you know, time of the you know, the crisis time, right? Folks are actually doing a walk and a run and whatnot. And until this feature was released, the intensity calendar would only show you a dot for your latest run on that specific day. And what I realized was, while we were listing that run on the run log itself, which is a completely separate screen, nobody really goes to that screen anymore. It's really, they look at the dashboard and they look at their recent runs and they tap on it and they want to look at the running detail, all the details for that run. So it was kind of like misleading, that somehow their previous run for the day was lost, or somehow that run just didn't exist, or they had to work around it if they already knew that, okay, there's a run log screen and there's a separate tab and whatnot. So it was a discovery issue. It was a usability issue. And in the process, I ended up like, you know, the intensity calendar itself is a very complicated UI element in the app, because it's a completely custom built collections view with a calendaring UI on it. And then you have to add the runs to it. All those dots are custom built. And then in those dots, we actually have different colors for them because of the fact that they are based on your intensity, on the type of run you did, high, you know, fast pace, low pace, long run, whatnot. The colors change and the size of the dots change. So there's a lot of stuff going on in each little tiny cell. So it was kind of tricky to like, okay, what do I do to show that there is more than one dot here? And I really actually just kind of cheated in the sense that I just superimposed a total number of runs as a number on it, and simplicity won there, because as soon as it did that, everybody liked it. And you just tap on the dot and you get the option, you get a list of like runs you've done for the day, and then you go from there.
There's so much care that goes into tempo, and you can care that you care, or you can notice that you care about it so much, because like even on the watch app, you know, you force touch the app itself from the screen that displays, and it gives you the option to change on the watch now what the complication shows, whether it's week, month, or year. And the check mark by the one you selected is like the signature tempo orange. And it's just, you know, things like that are so cool. Like you put so much care into this app.
Yeah. Thank you for noticing that. I'm glad it is something that I deeply care about. I think part of the reason is obviously because I use the app every day, multiple times a day. And the other reason is, you know, as runners, we put a lot of effort into our running and our workouts and fitness. And when we want to see that data, we want to look at the data with, you know, the most clarity it can have. And having the best UI user experience in the app just enables that. If you are not fighting the UI, you can actually get to your data and you can understand it. And I think the part of the goal for Tempo is not just like rendering the data and just playing with it, right? It's also being able to study it and study it from the perspective of like understand how your training is going and how training load applies to your, you know, just general building and growing as a runner. So all of that combined kind of like requires like the care that I want to put in the app. And I've tried to do my best. I'm glad that it's working out so far. I have much bigger aspirations in terms of UI UX, but it's always a combination, a balance of like time and shipping the features, right? So
when's the last time you changed your Apple Watch band? It's really easy to do, and it's something I see family and friends do all the time. The only problem is certain bands are only sold for a limited time, and no one wants to overpay. Monowear Design solves those problems. With 10 collections of watch bands available for the Apple Watch, Monowear offers a huge variety of options for both modern and classic looks, using leather, nylon, Velcro, and metal. Each collection offers multiple color tones for both the strap and the adapter, so you can match any Apple Watch color. Some of my favorites from Monowear include their NATO-style nylon straps and their all-black perforated leather band. Both are classics that look awesome with any Apple Watch, trust me. Monowear also has metal bands for under $50, so you don't have to spend the price of a new Apple Watch just to buy a metal band. And they have a new urban canvas style that's really comfortable. You can check out Monowear's premium Apple Watch accessories at monowearedesign.com/9to5Mac, including storage options that make for really great gifts. That's monowearedesign.com/9to5Mac. monowearedesign.com/9to5Mac. Thanks again to Monowear Design for sponsoring 9to5Mac Watch Time. Let's talk about the new app. What's the name of the new app? What does it do?
So it's called Activity Stacks, and it is a very simple one-screen app, and all it does is it shows you a list of totals for all your fitness and workout data points. So to elaborate that further, let's say you've had, you bought the Apple Watch on day one, you've had it since April 25th, 2015, and you've been using the Apple Watch, and since then Apple Watch has been saving all your information, like in terms of your activity data, in the health app. Activity stats will show you your total steps since April 25th, 2015 till right this second. And it will do that for your total exercise time, your total workout time, the total distance you've run, you've walked, you've biked, you've swam, everything. So it kind of started as a fun little side project because I saw a tweet where there was a list of Ian as well. He tweeted with his numbers for his activity totals that he actually created by exporting all his health data into a spreadsheet.
Right.
And it was interesting to me. Yeah, which is not easy. That's a lot of data and creating it on a spreadsheet. And then he had like just one screenshot with all the numbers. I got curious about my numbers just looking at the screenshot. And I was like, well, that's a lot of work to be able to do that. And I don't want to do that. This seems like a very convenient and a quick app to build. It may not have like a lot of usage, but it's interesting enough that enough folks hopefully will use it to at least, you know, once every now and then, and then we can take it from there. So I started building it, and it was, as I thought, it was easy enough because of all the HealthKit work I've been doing with in Tempo, and then with Swift UI, the UI was fairly easy to put together, and it turned out to be a really decent app. The UI turned out to be intriguing enough that my 10-year-old saw me prototyping the app in Swift UI on the Swift UI canvas. And she's like, are you building a new app? Can I have that on my phone? That looks kind of fun.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. So I was like, okay, that's a validation for me to actually want to ship it faster than I was thinking. So I ended up like spending a couple of extra days and, in my pockets of time, just focusing on that. And it's ready. It's approved. It got approved really quickly too, thanks to the App Store review team. And we're going to launch it today.
Nice. That's just so cool. Things I like about the app, any color right now is really helpful. And it's a colorful app. You know, it looks awesome. As the data loads in, the way that it kind of animates in is like it's like crunching the numbers right now. So you get a feel for that. And then the icons for each section. They look really neat. And where'd you get those icons?
So the icons are from my favorite service called the Noun Project. I've been a premium member of it for, I don't know, almost 10 years now since they have been around, or maybe, I think they haven't been around for longer, maybe. But I've been, ever since I've been doing iOS development, and I found them, I was like, these guys are awesome. So the designers out there, they produce so much great stuff. I think they're really underpriced. I would pay way more than I think they cost like $50 a year, which is like really, really cheap. Yeah. And any and every app developer should use them because they just provide such great icons, and it's all like royalty free and whatnot. As far as the icons go and the colors go, believe it or not, I actually spent, I want to say, as much time, if not more, just getting those right in the app.
I can believe it. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, it's interesting because I have to come up with a system which kind of, align the colors nicely because they are all hard-coded right now. They're not auto-generated because I didn't want to have, if you look at your total distance for running and it's a tempo orange, it changes to like red or yellow or green at a different time because a new row got added, or if your swimming is, you know, it's blue, actually, it's the blue that, you know, originally used in his screenshot. So I just ended up adding that. So I didn't want to change some of the colors. They were static. And then some colors, I didn't want to like swap them out with different colors and surprise the user, because, you know, if you've gotten used to looking at your biking in a, you know, aquamarine, then let it be aquamarine for the rest of the usage.
Go ahead.
I was going to say my 10-year-old is not happy with the color coding system because she thinks that it's not like a straight rainbow system and it's like kind of violating the principles. And I'm like, okay, well, sorry about that, but this is what I got right now. So
that's insightful too. So some, for examples, in I think October 2017, I was in a funk, as I sometimes am. And when my bright idea was, let me delete all of my health data I was on an airplane coming back home from New York, and it was like, as the past time, it was probably more of like, something to address like an anxious tick or something, but it's like, I will feel better if I purge my health data from my iPhone and fresh. Yeah, start fresh. And so all my data is from since October 2017. So it's kind of cut in half. But there's still some interesting data here. I mean, and it's kind of a, you know, for me, like it means more that way because it's like, this is what I've done since that day on that plane where I was in a low place, you know? And so, you know, like even though it's not all the data ever, it's 785 workouts. I'm 11 miles shy of tracking 1,000 miles ran since then. So that there's a reason to go and run 11 miles. And all of my indoor cycling is done with the Peloton. The icon, by the way, for the indoor cycling has the wheel in the front of the bike, which is not often the case. Peloton does that though. And so I like that about it. And I've seen that I've cycled indoors with the Peloton for 37 hours and 4 minutes. So it's like, nice. Yeah, I'm getting use out of that. It's so cool. My elliptical data would be like way higher because the first year, all I did was elliptical for an hour or 30 minutes to an hour a day. So, now it's like 46 hours, but you know, it still reminds me that I'm still doing elliptical, even though it's not my everyday workout. And then active calories, 609,293 total exercise time, 480, steps, 7 million. So it's like, these are really cool numbers that make you, like it puts it in context, like how much you do over time. And even if you didn't have the watch from day one, you know, if you've had it for a year or 2 years or 3 years, like, or if it's brand new today, this is the best way to see all of this information. And you can share, I don't think I realized this, that you can share the image. So it's one long image, like one tall image with all your data. And so you can share that with friends or social media or however. And I was doing screenshots of like the top half and the bottom half of the screen. And, I invited a couple of colleagues to try the app as well. And they both loved it too. Nice. And they were sending me single images. And I was like, what? Why aren't they sending me their full data? And it was because it was the full image. It was like, that's so clever. So there's a lot of cool stuff there for an app that, you know, you got the spark of, you know, very recently. And now it's, you know, it's out there.
Yeah, it's kind of it's been fun just building the app, because again, it's a combination of like all the health kit stuff that I've had in Tempo, and in many ways I do similar calculations for just running in Tempo, so it was pretty easy to port all the health kit code, and in the process I also realized, well, look, I have some health kit code, which is still in Objective-C in Tempo, and now I'm writing this in Swift, and it's so much nicer. And there is some newer API in health kit, which I could use too, but at the same time, same concepts. And then just putting things together in Swift UI, some of the things are newer, the animations are newer, but Swift UI made it far easy, way easier for me to do the animations. Oddly enough, the sharing part, I think the reason you might have missed it the first time is because I invited you as soon as the app was out on test flight, but the sharing was not there in the very first version. And the reason for that was it was actually way more complicated to get a screenshot of a view controller in Swift UI. And that took me a good chunk of hours. So it's funny how some things are super easy and fast in Swift UI, and then you run into these random cases which are like, you know, which shows it's like, you know, young age that, okay, it's only a 1 year old technology versus like I could do that like in my sleep with the UI kit. So right. The elliptical time, it's funny you mentioned that because I have my elliptical time is 1 minute.
Oh,
yeah. And the funny thing is the reason it is 1 minute is because I wanted to test it in the app. So I started an elliptical workout on my watch and I basically just floated in the air with my arms and legs moving as if like I'm on an elliptical, but just because I wanted that data and wanted to see it, like how it feels.
Yeah.
In the app, and because the color changes quite drastically for the elliptical time. It goes from like, for me, it's like going from the indoor cycling time to elliptical time. So it's from green to like a kind of like a purplish blue. So I wanted to see how it looked. I mean, I had fake data, but it wasn't on my device. So I wanted to try that out too. I still don't have swimming, but I could try the swimming part with my daughter's data. We put it on her phone and she swims a lot. So that's how I gathered all this information, like seeing all these colors on the device itself.
Yeah, this is kind of a challenge to increase your numbers in different workouts and try a variety of things. Like I've got 3 miles of swimming total. I'd have a little bit more than that from before, but not much. And so it's just kind of a reminder of like, oh, you know, it's good to cross train. And if nothing else, like this app is like a reminder of, are you really cross training or are you only running and neglecting other areas, you know?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it also shows the exercise time versus workout time, which I found interesting. So for me, it is 1,629 hours, 21 minutes for total exercise time, whereas my workout time is only 921 hours. So that kind of shows like how far what the Apple activity ring says as exercise time versus what my workout time is.
Yeah, for me, it's 480 exercise and then 372 workout. So there's a difference there too.
Yeah, which is I'm very curious to understand that algorithm. We probably will never know because it's probably inside details. But
yeah. Well, that's cool. And the app is called Activity Stats, right?
That's right. It's called Activity Stats. I was kind of pleasantly surprised that I could actually use the name as is in the app store without it being already used.
Sure,
and it's available for free. It will be shortly here. We should push the button now.
Yeah, let's push the button.
And it is live.
Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. I will write about this app later in my day.
It's awesome.
Tell everyone about it. That's so cool.
Yeah, it's totally free. My goal for the app is really, you know, it's interesting data. It may drive some motivation for us in different ways. Going forward, I'm just waiting on, you know, see what kind of feature requests or more data points folks would be interested in the app. Added there. I've had like some runners who are also Tempo users. They had feature requests to do something similar in Tempo. Some had like, why are you doing a different app than Tempo? I want all of this in Tempo. Some had like more running data here. So I think there's a good cross here too, where we might be able to refine this app further or utilize some of this stuff in Tempo as well. And based on that, we'll see like if you ever want to make it paid or not, or apply premium stuff.
Yeah, it totally makes sense as a companion app right now for me because it's, you know, one thing I love about Tempo is it's running and you can include walking, and having that narrow scope gives it a clear distinction from the activity app. And that's often what I say is it's like the activity app except it's focused just on your running data, and it goes way deeper than that. And so you can see, you can gain insights from that data. Whereas Activity App is like, you can see a historical log of all your different workouts, or like refine it down to just running or a set period of time. But it's not that great at getting insights from your performance over time. And so for tempo, just being about running or walking is great. And then because this includes so much different data from different workout types, and total times, I mean, the name says it all, Activity Stats. It's like, it's really cool.
Yeah. I mean, as you were saying all that, I just realized you mentioned something about the colors in the app too.
Yes.
There's a part of me that feels like tempo is super bland after working on this app for about a week. I'm like, I need more colors in tempo now. And yeah.
You know, in this period of like monotony and looking for inspiration, one thing I was doing this year was I was only using the California watch face in the circular dial mode with complications around it. And it's got the red. I was using it in like the darker version. Or in the edition watch has the slider version with a blue second hand. But you don't get color from the complications really. And it's kind of bland in that regard, which is okay for a lot of occasions. But, in this period of looking just to have more color in my life, I went back to the, infograph face, the analog version. And I've got, like because of my space interest, I've got, solar, for like the day, you know, and solar system for like, you know, the planets and how they're aligned around the sun. Geneva moon for the moon in the center, and then like Earth, your place on Earth, and like the time of day in the center. So it's like non like functional complications in the middle that I if they're blocked, I don't care about. And then basically like activity shows, way data shows, calendar shows, and then tempo shows. And I appreciate that tempo has, you know, whatever your number is. So the number of miles is in white, but then if it's week, month, or year, then that's in tempo orange. And so it just adds more color to my watch face. And so it's a good time for color.
Yeah. I almost considered, adding different tint colors for tempo complication. Uh-huh. And, but then I stopped because I realized that you could actually change the tint color for most of the watch faces, going from multicolor to like you want, and then just uses that. And that seemed like really nice to have for the initial launch. So I kind of like refrained from it.
Yeah. And it, you know, on the colors, on the faces where the color is either monochrome or it's the color, the default color, it's kind of cool to have that signature look. Like you can't change calendar from being red,
right,
or the activity colors or like the shades of weather, temperature. So it makes sense for me too. All right, let's talk about one more new thing coming. And so what this is I kind of teased this out on Twitter whenever WWDC, Apple's developer conference, was announced to be virtual only and not in person. And it's a watch time virtual 5K. So what that is on June 23rd, we will have a registration system up on June 17th, I believe, a week before. But on June 23rd, that's the day after the WWDC keynote on June 22nd. And I expect we'll hear about watchOS 7. And so I want to do a special episode that evening or the next morning. That evening, we'll say. And release it that night. And all about watchOS 7, what's new, what to think about it, that kind of thing, and how it will change the Apple Watch. And the idea is it'll be, you know, about 45 minutes, maybe an hour, and that will give people plenty of time, I think, to complete a running or walking 5K, either indoors or outdoors, however you want to achieve it. And we'll have some integration with Tempo, which is going to be really neat. And then I've got 9 to 5 Mac stickers that I've tweeted out, and there's always so much interest in getting 9 to 5 Mac stickers. And so I've because there's no in-person element to WWDC this year, you know, one of my favorite things in the past has been doing, they've had a WWDC run, or people have had unofficial WWDC runs. And it's really a cool way to get the developer community and press involved in this physical activity. that's based around the Apple Watch, especially. So this is kind of my version of that in this year of strangeness. So stay subscribed to 9to5 Mac Watch Time. And on June 17th is when, I expect to have the announcement about how to register and how to complete it. I'll say the first 500, people to complete it will get stickers, and maybe more than that, but it's going to be a lot of fun. And Tempo is involved, right?
Yes, Tempo's involved. I'll have more details coming soon, but, sure. What I can tell you for sure right now is we're going to have random five winners, not like based on time or anything, just randomly selected, five runners, who will get like a free 1 year premium subscription to Tempo.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And random time is a good idea. So I think what I'll do is say, you know, the first 500 to register on the 23rd, or, you know, to have completed the run on the 23rd will receive stickers, but I've got an excess of stickers. And so I totally get that sometimes, especially for me, a run is much more possible in the evening time. So there'll be some randomization in that for the additional stickers too. So you can run any time of the day and be eligible for receiving a sticker. Awesome. So I cannot wait to have this fully built out. I literally, it's like, you know, I see this with you so often where you've got a spark of an idea and you recognize it as that is something I should do. And then you spend hours and hours and hours building it into reality and then everyone benefits from it. This was like an impulse whenever WWDC was announced to be virtual only. And I had that like sadness of like, I won't get to go and complete this run with people, that I really like. And this kind of fills that void for me, and I hope for a lot of other people too. And I really appreciate your participation in this too, and kind of putting it together with me.
Yeah, it's something that I was really looking forward to as well, because this would have been my first year as a full-time indie developer working on a running app. So I was hoping that, you know, we'll be all physically in the same location and doing some sort of a run at least once that week, if not the entire week. A virtual 5K is equally good for me. It would be nice to actually see the participants, like, you know, just doing the runs and
really feel good about that. And so here is your heads up. If you're, like a lot of us, and you've kind of lessened your physical activity during quarantine, this is, I hope, enough notice to, you know, if you literally do a couch to 5K, this could be your goal. Because the run will be on June 23rd. You'll have official details by June 17th. And, you know, hopefully that's plenty of time to sort of work on it. And if it's just if it's a 5K walk, it also works out as well. So, because I love doing the races where it's runners and walkers and seeing how many people show up. It's so cool. So,
I would happily, you know, volunteer here for if somebody wants to, you know, reach out to Tempo, reach out to me and connect with, like, you know, how do I get into running? I have all sorts of resources, all sorts of links to like training programs. If you don't want to go through like, you know, paid subscribed apps for like just doing a 5K program, because there's really good stuff out there for getting into running, that's available, you know, for free from just training material. So
that's right. I've my local YMC has a quarantine program to go from being stuck at home to just getting into running. I'll have that linked in the channels as well. All right, Rahul, this has been so much fun. And this was like a last minute get together because we planned this last night. I was planning on doing a solo episode this week. So thank you so much. This has been awesome.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm glad it worked out this well, because I know you sent me a message just yesterday, and I was like, well, I'm not sure how this would work out with the kids. And surprisingly,
for both of us,
for both of us, there has been no background noise. I wonder if my kids are still at home or they ran outside, and I'll have to go find them. But yeah,
hoping for the best.
I'm glad it worked out.
Yep. Where can people follow you and find both of your apps now?
So you can follow me on Twitter. I am at RMATTA, Armata. And you can also follow me on Twitter, Tempo's Twitter account, which is at TempoLog, TEMPOLOG. And you can check out indie.sh, INDIE.sh, for both the apps, Tempo as well as Activity Stats. Activity Stats, because I just pushed the button, I have to go enable the website for it, which I'll do here shortly, and then you will be able to see all the details.
Awesome. All right. And we'll have both of those links in the show notes as well, all of the links in there. I can't wait to talk to you again. I know it's going to be under better circumstances. And congratulations on releasing your new app.
Thank you. And thank you for all your help on this.
Keeps me going. All right. Talk to you later.